Thank you, Ray. Also, if you do sign up for baptism, there's an information sheet next to the sign-up sheet. That'll tell you everything you need to know about being baptized, what you'll need to bring along, and so on. So if you haven't picked one of those up, you're welcome to do so as well. We're in Romans chapter 12, the first two verses, one of the most famous passages of Scripture, Romans 12, 1 and 2. It was the summer between graduating high school and starting college that my uncle hooked me up with a job with a painter. They had me go in and do the taping before the real painters came in and clean up afterwards and so on. In between jobs, the fellow that owned the business had me in his backyard. He wanted to put a patio out his back door. And so he told me he wanted a trench dug, a level spot dug, 6 inches deep, 12 feet wide, and 12 feet long. And so he set me to working. It was an extremely hot summer day. I worked all through the day. And the thing that stuck in my mind was that he wanted it level. He wanted it 6 inches deep, and he wanted it level. I'm not too good at level. And so I would dig a little bit on this end, and then I would dig a little bit on that end. And then this end was a little bit too deep, so I'd go and dig that end down. And thus it was going. And finally he came home, and I had a ditch about 6 or 8 inches deep in some places, a foot deep in other places, and, you know, trying to get that thing. But it was 12 by 12. I was blistered from the sun. My hands were in the permanent shape of the shovel. And the fella came out to inspect my work. I was expecting a good attaboy, you know, because I didn't go just 6 inches. I had him a good foot. Well, he was as angry as you can imagine, because he'd have to fill that all in with cement. And the more cement, the more it was going to cost him. And so he kind of kicked me on my way out the door. And I thought, oh, man, I got to go back there tomorrow. But when I got home, I got good news. I was hired at a tool factory. I was going to be making three times as much as I was on that job, working half as laborious as I was there. And I learned this principle in those days. It's funny how in life the people who pay you more tend to be more grateful for what you do. Probably the worst jobs you've ever had were the worst paying jobs you've ever had. The people treated you like you weren't worth much, and they paid you like that too. But the more they pay you, the more they appreciate you. Finding a good boss after having worked for a sadist is like finding the promised land. You hate it. Some of you still work for the sadist, don't you? Well, let me tell you, there's a good time ahead. This principle, in essence, is what happens to us when we come to Christ. You see, in sin, we were working for an evil taskmaster. He made a lot of promises. Oh, this will be fun, and that'll be good, and you'll really enjoy this. But come payday, he never pays up. It never pays off like he promised that it would. The benefits are never there. And it's always just this vicious cycle. Oh, just a little bit more, just a little bit longer, just a little bit. And it never does. But now you've come to Jesus Christ, the best life coach you'll ever meet in all of eternity. Take full advantage of everything he has to offer for you. Not only forgiveness, but life education. He will teach you how to live. Romans chapter 12, the first two verses. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Father, here we are. We come to you. We open up our ears. We open up our understanding. Teach us today. Help us, Lord, to chart a good course going into this new year. Lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Help us to get good at life. We'll enjoy it more, and so will you. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the first call of a disciple. The very first call, the most important call of all, is to be with Jesus. You recall we looked at the scripture that said he chose 12 to be with him and that he might send them out. The first thing is to be with him. If you ever lose attachment to that, you lose everything else. A lot of people come to Christ, they love the Lord, and then they run off to serve him. They become exhausted, they become burnt out, they run into difficulty and so on. They're trying to serve the Lord, they're trying to do good things, but they're doing it in their own strength. Anything of value will only ever be birthed out of the fact that you're abiding in him. Spend time with him and he will work through you. He'll give you all the power, the strength, the energy, the call, the wisdom that you need, but it all is in this abide in him. If you haven't been abiding in him, then you need to get back there. That's the first call of a disciple, is just to be with him. In the weeks ahead, we'll look at the purpose that he saved us. What does he have in mind? What are the things that he would have us to be accomplishing now that we are part of his kingdom? Today we're going to talk about that tweener stage. What happens in between the time I come to God and the time that he uses me in ministry? What needs to take place between meeting Jesus and being used by him? Well, we want to become useful. We want to become able. We are tools in his hand and we want to be sharpened. We want to be greased. We want to be ready to do a good job for the master. And of course, this is an ongoing process. We become sharper. We are used more fully, and so on and so forth throughout life. Being with Jesus has a lot of benefits. It heals our soul. It removes our stains. Peace comes into our spirit. The longer you abide with Christ, the richer your life is going to become. Being with Jesus is a great experience, but it's meant to be more than just therapeutic. Sometimes we just can't wait to get to church because we're disheveled, we're having difficulty, and there is a peace here we can't find anywhere else. And that's a great experience. But our being with Jesus is meant to be more than just therapeutic. We don't go out and just do our own thing all week long and can't wait to get back again. I need another session with God. I need some more time with the Lord. I've got so many problems. I got so many things. Lord, I need you. I need help. I need time in the sauna, as it were, of the Lord. Our time with the Lord is to be instructive, informative, transformative. You should be changing the longer you know the Lord. You should be developing. You should be learning at the feet of Jesus. He teaches us how to live. He teaches us how to love. I take an example, those who are married. You probably thought you knew what love was when you said, I do. Boy, have you gotten an education ever since. It's been stretched. It's been tested. It's been enriched as time has gone on. It teaches us how to love, how to serve, how to accomplish our life's mission. Far too many believers enjoy the presence of the Lord for purely selfish reasons. I just come, Lord, help me again. Do for me what you did before. And sometimes they're a little disappointed that God isn't coming through like he did when they first prayed the sinner's prayer, or when they were really broken down over here. God, why aren't you anteing up? Why isn't the experience lasting like it was so good at first? Well, the reason for that is it's to be a progressive experience. You're to walk with him. You're to follow him. There's a fellowship that comes. Whenever you were hired for your job, if you're working for, or if you ever did have a job, that first day on the job, everybody, oh, so glad to meet you. You're so happy to have that job. You know, woohoo, this is going to be great. Yoy, a couple months into the job, you're finding out the other side of the business and the different. You're learning how to get along. You're learning how to survive sometimes and then get along and then do well in that career or in that business as you go along. The same is true for the Christian life. There's joy at the new birth. There's wonderful emotional experiences and so on. But there's a richer, deeper relationship you can have with Christ. You should be happier with your walk with God 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road than you are at the very beginning. Now, selfish reasons aren't a bad start when it comes to walking with the Lord. There's some pretty good benefits to that. You become restored. You become encouraged. You are forgiven. So I'm not asking you to give up the selfish reasons why you came to God, but I'm asking you to add to those. Don't stop there. Ask the Lord to school you. Lord, I want to learn. Lord, I want to know what you know. I want to grow in this faith that you paid so dearly for me to be a part of. Be with Jesus in order to become like Jesus. Not just, Lord, I need your peace. Lord, I want to feel better today. I want to be like you. Lord, I want to follow you. An important word in Christian speak is repentance. Repentance means I'm going to change directions. I've been going this way, but now I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go in a completely different direction. Maybe you've been overeating, especially during the holidays, and you're blah, 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 blah. And it hits you and say, you know what? I'm not doing that anymore. I don't care what they're serving for New Year's Day. I have decided I'm going to walk a different direction. You got any celery? You know, you've decided you're going to do a different thing. And many of us have kind of done this. You know, and we get on our program for a while. We're doing pretty good. But then we think, hey, you know what? A little bit couldn't hurt. And you know, repentance is to change your mind and go a different direction. Maybe you've been a hothead and you really went off on somebody. And you decided, you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. God, with your help, I'm no longer going to be a hothead. From now on, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be calm. Do whatever I have to do. Even if I have to step outside for a while, if I have to yell into a bag, I'm going to find ways to cope with who I have been. I'm going to be a different person from now on. Repentance is a tool. It's a gift God gives to his redeemed people. People in the world, they don't have this tool. They're doing it completely on their own. And in self-will, they can make some progress. But with God, we can do all things. He's given us the tool of repentance. And when we identify something in our life that isn't godly, we can take it to the Lord and say, God, you know what? This needs to change. I've been trying, but I can't. With your help, I repent right now. The first part of repentance is I confess. Lord, they're right. I am an angry person. I'm sorry. I confess it, and I am asking for your help to change my character and put me off into a different direction. With repentance, all things are possible. You can be a new person on into the new year, and as time goes on, all things are possible with Christ. When we come to Jesus, we are expected to turn away from immorality and turn toward holiness. We choose holiness. How many have noticed we live in a pretty filthy world? It's pretty dirty out there. You can't even watch a commercial today that you don't get smutted up. They're trying to change our morals. They're trying to change our values right in front of us. And billboards and the people you work with, their filthy mouths and everything else, God has asked us to turn away from immorality and toward holiness. That's going to take a decision on your part. If you just go along with the crowd, you're going to end up in a bad place. Turn away from filthy language. Add salt to your conversation. Well, what's that mean? I want to make people thirsty for the kingdom of God. I want to talk about the Lord. I want to talk about his goodness and his kindness to me. I want to make them thirsty while we're talking. I don't want to, all that trash talk of everybody else. I don't want to have filthy language. I don't want to talk about immoral things. And I'll tell you what, the devil will tempt you. You'll hear a good dirty joke. A funny one, I should say. And you'll have to make a choice. Would I rather be funny or would I rather be holy? Choose to be holy. Choose to go after the things of God. Turn away from lying, cheating, stealing. Turn toward serving others and giving generously. For some people, this comes naturally after they've been born again. Some people, when they come to Jesus, boom, man, there's an amazing change in them. For most people, most of the work is done gradually. Some things change, especially desires, but the actual work of cleaning up their mouths, the actual work of cleaning up their mind is an ongoing process that's going to take some time. It's going to take some doing. But it always requires our full cooperation. If you give yourself excuses, if you give yourself a pass on why you have an outburst or why you fantasize about things that are not good, if you say, well, let me come up with reasons, well, you're going to keep doing it. But if you repent, if you change your mind, say, Lord, I'm going to start thinking about things the way you think about them, not the way I think about them. And so give me your mind and let's go at this thing from your direction. And you won't automatically start acting like Jesus as soon as you get saved. I wish that happened, don't you? I wish that as soon as I said the sinner's prayer, I was perfected. And I loved the Lord and every word came out was beautiful and right. And I never had to apologize again for something I said or something I did. It was just all be right all the time. Woohoo! Sign me up. But that's not how it works. That's not how it works. And that's why we need discipleship. I need to learn how to live. I need to learn how to communicate correctly. Our text tells us we need to offer our bodies, our lives, as living sacrifice. What does that mean? Well, if somebody came in here with a gun and they said, you either deny Jesus or I'm going to blow you away. And we say, well, go ahead and blow me away. I'm going to see Jesus in glory. Then you are a martyr. You're a dead sacrifice. You have sacrificed yourself for the kingdom. But a living sacrifice keeps on sacrificing. It's not a once and done. It's every day. Every morning you get up, you give yourself over to God. Every time you're in a situation where your flesh wants to belt somebody in the nose and the spirit is saying, ah, it's a decision you have to make. You are a living sacrifice. You don't do what your old flesh feels like doing. You do what the spirit is calling you to do. I am a living sacrifice. Anybody ever get tired of being a sacrifice? There are moments when I say to the Lord, would you stop the world? I'd just like to get off. Just call me home. I'm, you know, it's been a good life. It's up, but you know, I'm just a little weary with what's going on. But we are called to be living sacrifices. And of course, he provides the energy and the strength to overcome and to do better as we go along. Our text tells us to offer our bodies, our flesh, our natural desires over to God. Here I am, God. You need somebody, send me. Here I am, God. Use me. There's an old hymn we used to sing. Jesus, use me, and oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Lord, I want to be useful in your kingdom. We sing the chorus, for it's only in your will that I am free. I've learned that doing your will is what makes me happy. It's my purpose in life. Serving the purposes of the Lord is our spiritual act. That's how we worship. That's how we do it. Lord, what would you want me to do? I want to respond your way, not my way. That's worship when you do that. So the first effect of discipleship is on me, so that I can then affect the world. I want to show them Jesus. I want to have a good effect. I want to change the world for the better. Well, first it has to affect me. So, Lord, I'm in class today. I'm all ears. Teach me what I need to know. Now, which do you think honors God more? That we are here for a while with hands upraised and singing praises to God? Or that we go out and we do something for somebody that they cannot do for themselves. They cannot pay us back for. Well, here's the answer. Both. Don't neglect the one over the other, but do both. Lift up holy hands and sing his praises. But then once you leave this place, don't just enjoy that you are restored, that you're feeling better. Go act like Christ. Be Christ to a dying and a broken world. Worship him with words and songs, but also show kindness to others. Now catch this. Until you have offered your life to Jesus for him to use you as he sees fit, you have not become a disciple. We have millions of people who are lined up looking for God to bless their life. Lord, I want you to help me do what I want to do. But this is a different ballgame, isn't it? This is a different arena. Until you have offered your life to Jesus for him to use as he sees fit. Here I am, Lord. This is what I want. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I had a conversation with John Fuller before coming into the first service. And we were chatting back and forth about how, you know, I've made many suggestions to God through my lifetime. And he has never taken a one of them. He always does it a different way than I expect that he's going to. But it's his life to be lived. I surrender all to Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 2 again in our text. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, some translations translate that first verse, stop being conformed to this world. And that's really the meaning here, because the natural progression is to be conformed to the world. It is happening whether you think it is or not. You are becoming more and more like the world. It is bombarding us day and night through the media, through the people we work with. And I'm sure if you're my age, you can look back over your shoulder and see the world has really changed dramatically. Not just in the way things are done, but the way people think. Things that used to be, forget about it, are now completely accepted. And anybody who says forget about it, they're the ones who are in trouble now. Things that used to be illegal have been legalized and are protected under the law. We are being conformed to the ways of this world, and the world is ever pushing the envelope further and further into sin. And the Bible says, stop being conformed.
Well, I don't conform.
Really? Men have started wearing makeup now. You've seen that now. I know we're a redneck country here, and we're all kind of safe and so on, but it's becoming it. Yeah, I think it all started with that pirate movie with that Johnny Depp fella. And, you know, and now they're starting, it's accepted, you know. Earrings, men started wearing earrings, what, maybe 20 years ago or so. And, everybody was outraged at first, and now, you know, hey, you know, now men talk jewelry with one another. It's just, I think you got to be about 60-year-old male before you're not really affected by the trends that go on, because we've had our jeans for 30, 40 years, haven't washed them for a decade or so, and you know we're just fine with what we look like. You know, the world can conform it, but we're not gonna. But you know, short shorts, long shorts. The trend changes, and all of a sudden everybody else looks funny when they're not conforming to, and they keep changing. We are being conformed to this world. Now devotions help. Time in the Word, prayer, coming to church. But compare that to the 24/7, 365 we're getting from the world all the time, through the programming, through the entertainment. There are shows that you've enjoyed that throw a bunch of garbage in it. And you say, man, I could have done without that. You go to work and you think, oh, do I have to work next to that person? Their mouth is just so trashy. I had a lady tell me this week her brother will call her on the phone. He has such a trash mouth. Other word is, and she'll say, you know what, I just can't listen. And he'll say, oh, well, I'm sorry. And he'll clean it up for about two sentences, and then he's back to it again. And we're just continually bombarded by the negative and the ugly. So whether we acknowledge it or not, the pressure is there. So step number one is stop the bleeding. Be cognizant that this is happening. Control your programming as much as you can. There are some shows that are not good for you. In fact, they're poisoning you. You need to stop it. Oh, but stop it. Stop it. Don't let the ill in any, as much as you can. You still got to work with your coworkers. You're still going to see billboards along the way. You're still going to have programming come across. But make a conscious decision to stop being so worldly. There are some things I could do. I could change my radio station. I could change my reading material. I could this, I could that. Lord, please help me become holy because you are holy. Help me to love holy. You know, The world doesn't like holy. Have you noticed that? And when we first come to Christ, we are not used to holy. It's a whole different appetite. I was in Wise a couple weeks ago down in Hanover, and they had a fella there, and it free sushi. They've opened up a sushi bar, and so they were giving away free samples in Wise Market, Hanover, Pennsylvania. There was nobody lined up. This fella standing there all alone. In fact, he was calling out to us as we went, "Oh, you would like to try sushi?" No, thank you. No, thank you. I think he started out with 10 samples and went home with 9. I think he got hungry somewhere along the way. We just, not my palate. But if you were born and raised in India, you would love your curry. You know, that's what you were raised on. To change your appetite, some of our missionaries who go overseas, sometimes that's the biggest challenge that they have. Learning to enjoy the local cuisine. Eat like somebody else. You know, they eat things that we just... I remember we were at Dara's restaurant, if you remember that from some years ago. We were sitting in Dara's restaurant for lunch. Barb and I had gone over on our lunch break, and there was a fella who had just started working at the wood plant here in town, and he was from India. And he's looking at the menu, and he says, "Chicken fingers? They serve chicken fingers? How many chicken fingers does it take to make a meal?" Different culture. That's not what we mean when we say chicken fingers. But when you come to Christ, you've had a different appetite your whole life. Something else has been feeding you. You need to learn to enjoy what God serves. And you can. And you must. Lord, teach me how to worship. I mean, really love worship. Teach me how to get into the Word. But I don't like to read, but I need to the Word. Listen to the Word. If you can't read it, listen to it. Get it in you. But I really like the golden oldies. Really? Some of them are pretty good. Some are just nice songs. But some of them are pretty filthy, really. And if you just really take a second look, Lord, do I want that in my spirit today? Do I want that in my heart? Learn to enjoy spending time in Jesus' presence, in His Word. Develop that appetite in the Lord. The more you give of yourself to Him, the more of Him He will give to you. We often want God, more of God, but we don't want to make any room for Him in our life. You got to make room for the Lord, and then He will fill you up with good things. Learn to be light in dark places. They curse, you don't. They talk coarse, you don't. They belittle others, you befriend them. They cheat, you stay honest. And here's the good part. You'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many need a renewed mind? Your mind just needs a little bit of help. Kids were with us over Christmas, or just before Christmas, rather. And Chris was telling us about, they have 3 boys, 8, 5, and 3. They have a little girl, 8 months old. They knew she was innocent in this case. Chris goes into the bathroom, and there's toothpaste everywhere. Just squirted everywhere. So he lines the 3 boys up, and here comes the interrogation. All right, who was it that squirted the toothpaste all over? And the lights swinging back and forth overhead, you know. I didn't. It wasn't me. Not me. Had to be somebody. Let's go back over this thing. Okay, now who was it? And they finally landed on Cooper, the 3-year-old. They determined it had to be Cooper. And so Dad, he's pretty upset because he's got to clean the bathroom now. And he's got his guilty party right in front of him. Cooper, what were you thinking? I just lost my mind, Dad. I just lost my mind. If you can get your disciplinarian to laugh, that's good, you know. And it went a little easier on him because I just lost my 3 years old, he lost his mind. He needs a renewed mind. Of all the things I've ever lost, my mind is what I miss the most. We need a renewed, our brains need to be washed. They need to be cleaned. You can't think straight when you've been indoctrinated by the world. Have you ever marveled at the stupidity of the intelligent people in the world? They have degrees as long as their arm, and they're so stupid? Dumb. Yeah, how could you? What are they? How often have you said at the news this week, what are they thinking? And they call themselves educated? How'd they get voted into office? All those kinds of things. Need renewed. We need renewed mind. And this happens. If you'll give up the old life, you'll start turning toward the Lord. You'll not only start being renewed, you'll start enjoying the things you thought were not enjoyable. You'll start despising. How many people have been delivered from tobacco? You used to be a smoker. I don't know how many people have told me, you know, I used to smoke 2 packs a day. Now I can't stand the smell of it. You know, I can smell it on someone. I can't stand to be around it. You know, it makes me ill or whatever. You'll develop a new appetite. When you develop an appetite for the things of God, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's going to take some time. It won't happen overnight. But little by little, gradual by gradual, you'll be changing into a different person. Your old friends won't even recognize you any longer. Laws, rules, and commandments will become natural and enjoyable. David wrote Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It's got over 150 verses, something like that. It's all about how much he loves the Word of God, how much he loves the commands of God. Because now he gets it. These aren't restrictions. This is how to do life right. These are the instructions. These are, you know, you open the box and you try putting it together and it doesn't work, so you go find the instructions. He said, oh, I'm so glad I got the instructions now. Love it. And you'll become that person. You may not start out very well. You may start fighting the old nature's comeback all the time, and it's so hard, and I can't get this right, and I keep tripping up, and I make mistakes, and but after a while, it becomes, catch this phrase, second nature. You were born with a first nature that is fleshly. You are born again with a second nature. And that second nature is just a baby. It's just weak. It's learning how to walk. But it will become strong as you feed it. And as you starve the first nature, it will become weaker. And after a while, you will become this person that even if you wrap your thumb with a hammer, what comes out will not be a curse word. And you'll say, hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. We're getting to where we need to be. You might want to just test your husband. Just, you know, next time he's not looking, wham. See how holy he's becoming. Well, the preacher said, you know, no, please don't do that. With this renewed mind, you'll be able to see clearly what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's what you were created to do. You'll find out who you are, what you're able to do, why he called you. What are the good things in life? As you walk in that will of God, you will enjoy what you were made to be and do. Representing God and loving others will satisfy you completely. So here's today's lesson in discipleship. Allow God to affect you. Ask his help in trimming your selfish nature and building up his nature within you. Go ahead, God. I'm not going to be embarrassed at work if I don't fit in any longer. I don't care what they think about me anymore. I'm going to go ahead and wear my Expect Jesus shirt, and we're just going to do this thing for Jesus from now on. You go ahead and take over. Turn away from things that feed your worldly desires and feast at God's table from now on. Get rid of your old desires and find yourself some new godly ones. Now note the wording in our text. Test and approve. Even when you're walking in the Lord, not every thought you have is going to be from God. Not every idea you have is a good one. You need to test it. How am I going to test it? The Word of God. You can bounce it off other people, too, that you trust in the Lord. Hey, you know what? I feel like the Lord dropped this in my heart. Stan came with an idea this morning to prayer and said, you know, and I could tell in his demeanor, he was a little iffy about it. Hey, I really felt like, you know, the Lord was saying, what do you guys think? And then we were able to encourage him, and hey, that sounds like a great idea. That sounds like a God thing. And so we test and we approve it. Okay, Lord, this is what you want me to do. This is what you want me to follow through with. This is God's will. His good, pleasing. Those sound like nice terms, don't they? How many figure good is good? Pleasing, perfect. Wow, I'd like that. I would love to get to heaven someday. And here it said, you did it. You did it. You were on. You pastored the church. I called you to pastor. You kept a good pace the whole way through. Over here, but mostly you high five. Woohoo! That's what I want to hear. How about you? Good, pleasing, perfect will of God. It all starts with my mind. I can't allow the world to have control of it. I can't just go with the flow. I need to swim against the current. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I want to think like God thinks. So here's a prayer that I copied down out of this book, Follow, that we're using as a textbook for our discipleship program. In your bulletin, you received a flyer, and in that flyer, you'll see the creed on one side. We talked about that a month or so ago when we started this series on discipleship. And on the other side, you'll find the prayer from today's lesson. I thought this was good, or down below it, whatever it is. And I thought this was good. Heavenly Father, thank you for inviting me to follow you. Do you understand what a privilege that is? God said, come be one of mine. It amazes me that you care about me enough to want to be with me. I respond to your invitation again and declare that I am your follower. I will joyfully leave behind the things you ask me to, because I believe that I will be better off with you. Change me into the person you want me to become. I rest in your commitment to be with me forever. I also rest in your presence right now, my heart's true home. Do you love the presence of God? Do you love his affirmation? I rest in that. You love me, God. That's all that really matters. Now make me like you. You're going to have to read that over a couple hundred times until it all really sinks in. But it's a great prayer. It's a great desire to develop within your heart. The Christian life was never meant to be lived by wading in up to your knees. You started coming to church. That's a great first step. We're proud of you. Don't stop there. Dive in. Go deeper. Don't stand at the water's edge. Don't be pleased with a little bit. I want more and more and more of Jesus Christ. All this stuff, repentance, it's an ongoing thing. I want to grow in God. Your joy in the Lord will come from the new thing in your life. God is speaking something to you right now, or has been over the last week. As you've been in the Word, something lit up for you, and that brought you joy. God's dealing with you in some area of your life. As you yield it to Him, that will give you strength. And when you get together with brothers and sisters, you'll start to talk and say, you know, the Lord has been saying to me lately. And they'll share with you what God has been doing in their life. And you'll get excited together. The fact that you were saved 24 years ago, that's a great testimony every once in a while. But it won't charge your batteries today. You need a vital, ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where the joy abides. You abide with Him. Ask Jesus to disciple you. Avail yourself of more resources to sharpen your spiritual side. Get into Jesus. Line up at what He is giving away for free. Get yourself some more of that. Would you stand with me this morning? You and I were made to worship.